Ambassador with George Friedman, the founder and chairman of Geopolitical Futures, writing his column recently on the moon. Not in the past, not romantically, but for the future. Recently, there have been several landings, some successful, some mostly successful, around the South Pole of the moon. There is organizing going on in the United States called the Artemis Accords. Some three dozen countries have signed on. I lose count. China, on the other hand, is something it doesn't name, the International Research Station, Lunar Research Station. It's signing up also allies. They tend to be allies of the Chinese Communist Party at the same time. So there is something of a moon race. It's corporate. It's slow-footed, except for the Musk part. However, what's it for? George, you measure the moon as important for the 21st century. How so?
The moon is strategic. As we saw recently, it covers the entire globe. From the moon, you can strike anywhere on the Earth, and you can protect various missiles by burying them deep into it, into Luna. So when you take a look at the map, here's a place that is hard to hit, easy to defend, and can strike the Earth with various weapons. So this place has been unattainable. It now is with the Artemis projects, clearly going to be having humans on it, and clearly thinking about how to use those humans to wage war.
There are treaties. Are we going to dismiss those treaties the way, say, the 19th century dismissed treaties?
No, we'll do it much more subtly. But the treaties were signed on the use of space when the use of space was inconceivable. Now that you see the situation developing, that multiple countries, it's not just the United States, multiple countries are moving into space and into moon, we're going to defend that. We're going to be one of the players, a very successful one, to address that question. And so treaties last as long as the reality behind them do. Here, there's been a shift.
You see, then, competing moon bases, competing deployments, either robotic or manned, and a new kind of moon race. It's not getting there. It's building fast and defending yourself. Is that what you're proposing?
Well, firstly, we have to understand that the distance from London to the United States was vastly greater than the distance to the moon. By that, I mean the speed with which we can get to the moon is 2 days. The speed at which they colonized North America was much longer. Therefore, as a colonization base, this is a much more plausible thing, in a way, than the earlier one was. And we are going to be seeing them trying to keep each other away from there. But the real part of it is going to be, here you have a major facility that can fire missiles, so many of them that they'll saturate the defenses on Earth. And that means that we will be negotiating. Whoever owns those missiles will be in a very powerful negotiating position.
We have a space force. Is that what it's for, George, to militarize the moon?
Well, is it to be militarized the moon? It is part of it. It's also Air Force fighting it, but it is ultimately going to be the force that deals with the moon. You know, we've talked a lot about Elon Musk and Mars. That's not really relevant. The moon is the relevant point. They can oversee and control and see everything on Earth. So you have a very, you know, in the same way that Mexico was critical to the occupation of the Western Hemisphere, but has so much wealth, so the moon as well, plus defendable.
George Friedman is the founder and chairman of Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site that Geopolitical is going to soon have a moon base as well. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.